Hey, what's going on, Clipper folks, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people.
Ooh, somehow.
And somehow. we bring you Clippers news 5 days a week as Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Hell yeah.
Fabulous network.
Oh, yeah. Doing
great things out there.
Shout out to the network.
Anyways, in the Clipper sphere, we're going to be kicking things off today with What You Say Wednesday. Every single Tuesday, poll goes out on Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips. We just ask you what you think about something pertaining to the season. This year, this question is, which young club Clipper is going to take the biggest step this upcoming season? Excited to talk about what y'all thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some more press availability today. We heard just a multitude of cliches from Tyloo.
It was mid-level. It was mid-cliches. The cliches were mid today, which is a little disappointing.
A little disappointing for sure. Yeah. We heard from Tyloo though. We heard from Fee. We heard from Amir Coffey. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the circumstances surrounding Amir Coffey actually being available.
Mm.
And then in shavings, we just kind of wrap up all the loose ends floating around the NBA. And finally, it's someone who's not a Clipper who's getting yelled at on Twitter for going to a strip club. So we got to talk about that. Plus, former Clipper great Gallo has some good news to share. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order. Let's get into What You Say Wednesday. As Will said, we were talking young Clips because I feel like the young guys, you know, where it's preseason, it's like it happened last year at the playbook and stuff like that. The young guys are getting talked up quite a bit. So I asked Clipper Nation on Twitter, which we might be getting a new hashtag soon because there's no more Clippers logo after that, thankfully.
This has happened before.
Oh, that's true. Well, I hope we get a new one. Which young Clippers player is going to take the biggest step this upcoming season? The options were Ivica Zubac, Fiondu Cabangeli, and Terrence Mann. This one, I kind of knew what it was going to go. Zubac won on this one. It was 63% of the vote to Zubac, 20% to Terrence Mann, 17% to Fee. Will, where would you vote on this? Because I'm going to throw a curveball when after you're done talking about who you're going to vote for.
Jay Scrub.
No, no, not an option. No one even asked about it, which I was surprised about.
It's interesting. It's interesting, right? So I would probably go Fee. And I want to clarify that, though, because I don't think that Fee is necessarily ready
to
be a rotation player in the NBA. But I think him just getting some minutes and looking comfortable on the floor would be a huge step.
Because it's quantitative, like,
to
for
where
him.
He was at last season. Like,
him, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you're grading on a curve, I would be inclined to go Fee. I think it could take a jump. I just worry about how much he's going to be able to develop with a lighter minutes load. And then Zoo,
good call.
You know, the thing with Zoo is he's already made his big jump.
Is his ceiling capped on this team? Like, I talked with someone on Twitter, and it's like, if he was on a worse team, obviously, I think Zoo would be definitely in the most improved player discussion. Like, if he was on a team that really, I don't want to say needed him because that has a weird connotation, but I think you know what I'm trying to say, right? Like,
yeah, where he was a more prominent role for sure.
Yeah, like, I think that would really help his development. Like, for Zoo to take a big step, I mean, if Zoo took a step as big as he did from two seasons ago to this season, he's going to be at kind of an absurd level. And I mean that, like, I mean, I think it's maybe possible, but kind of the man point, I don't know if there's enough time. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the biggest step thing, the thing that's throwing me too is like, so biggest step, that would mean he'd need to take a bigger step forward than he took last year, right?
Yeah.
Which I mean, I gotta be honest. I don't know if that's in the cards. I don't know if that's even possible.
It might be, but again, he'd be playing at such a high level after that. I was going to say Terrence Mann because I think there's a chance if Reggie is messing up, Lou likes to, tinker with things and stuff like that. But this also has to coalesce with him actually taking that next step. Because I think it could take some of Reggie's minutes, whatever they're going to end up even being. And I'm excited to see in the scrimmage on Friday kind of what he looks like, because I'm assuming we'll see him at point. But, you know, they liked Mann more last year than Fee, obviously, right? Like, he contributed more. He obviously just played a lot more. So if Mann can, you know, kind of do his thing in practice and soak up more of that knowledge from Kawhi and PG that was kind of talked about last season, I think Mann could take the biggest step out of these guys. I hope it's Fee, kind of, because that would be really cool to see. He'd be a really good tool if he really hit his stride for some spot minutes and stuff. But I like where Mann's at, because if he stays the same, I'm not too worried about it, depending how much time he gets. But if he gets better, you know, that's obviously that's great. But I think it could be Terrence Mann in this one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was kind of split between those two guys. Yeah, I just still have some questions about what his development is going to be able to look like. And it's just harder for younger guys to be able to consistently step up when they're getting inconsistent minutes in a small role.
Yeah, Zoo has kind of the leg on these guys because he's the established starter for a contender. So it's like...
For sure.
Yeah. How much do you think we're going to see of Fee? Because Fee's getting talked up kind of a lot in this preseason, a la Terrence Mann. I mean, we can't see him less than last year, right?
No, we won't see him less than last year. We will maybe see him a Terrence Mann level that we saw last year, which I think would be a massive step up for Fee.
That would be great for his development.
Being added to, you know, being able to travel with the team and stuff like that, that would be huge. And, you know, the shooting is nice. He's just, you know, and we've talked about this before, he's just going to have to improve defensively and, you know, just get that IQ and confidence really to where it needs to be.
That defensive voice is what he talked about.
Yeah, Terrence Mann did not play a lot last year.
No.
Not a lot of appearances. So I feel like that could be, I feel like that could be doable for Fee. But we'll, you know, we'll have to see.
It's going to be cool too, because Zoo is kind of in line for more minutes given his biggest detractor is gone. And I don't think Serge is going to take up as many minutes as Trez did. Or do we?
I think that Serge will have a pretty comfortable minutes load. I would guess that it's, in the, I don't know, 20s.
Do we think it helps that, because Serge can actually, you know, obviously do more than Trez could on the offensive end, like, it's kind of nice that Zoo will get a play next to Serge at sometimes.
Yes.
Like, in terms of development and stuff like that, like, everyone's kind of talking about what Fee is going to learn from Serge, which is obviously going to be a lot. But I think what's going underrated is what Zoo's going to learn from Serge. There's not a lot of better vets who can really contribute right now who you would want on your team to teach Ivica Zubac how to be a better and even better at the rim defender, which he's already obviously top 10 in terms of that percentage and stuff like that, than Serge Ibaka. Like, we might see Zoo take some weird jump with shot blocking. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, like, once again, I think that if you're looking at biggest leap, you know, like, Zoo's game can improve in that area, but it's not going to be like such a mind blowing improvement.
You know? It's going to be like two blocks a game, right? Cause it's like blocks. So how many are you really, I mean, like,
if you're taking like a big leap in that area, I mean, like, what, he's going to be Joel Embiid now? I mean,
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not fully sure. I'm just not fully sure what we're doing here. Like, I don't know how much room there really fully is to improve. I want to talk about something just real quick.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
The owner, the boss man, David Locke, was looking at the Western Conference teams, and he was talking about players on the roster that you would feel comfortable playing 25 minutes or more. He had the Clippers in about third place with, he said, about 7 players. He had the Nuggets ahead of us with 8 and the Lakers ahead of us with 9.
I don't know about that.
And I guess I'm just not seeing it, man. I gotta be honest.
I'm not seeing Clippers, 9 guys on the Lakers who I'd want to play 25 minutes. You have almost 2 lineup. Like, no, not at all. So for the Clippers, who's out, right? Like, I mean, Reggie Jackson's out. Yeah, I don't want him playing 25. Patrick Patterson's out.
Oof. Yeah, he's out.
Right? Like, Patrick Patterson's out. Terrence Mann's out. Fee's out.
Yeah.
Kennard
TBD for me.
TBD?
Probably don't want him playing 25.
See, that's
plus
the thing. It's like, I don't want Lou or Kennard to have to play 25 plus minutes.
It's not about have to. Would you feel comfortable?
No. If Lou averages 25 minutes a game, I would be like, oh, what is it? I'd be like, A, he's in the best shape of his life. No, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if 9 is right for the Lakers. How many minutes? So Jared Dudley's getting 25 minutes.
Let's run this down right now. Who are the guys that you trust to play 25 plus minutes?
So we got the full starting lineup, right? We got Bev, Kawhi, PG, Mook, Zoo. Trust them to play 25. I'm going to put Kennard on there.
You're going to put Kennard in there?
Yeah, I'll put Serge on there. So there's 7. Dude, he might be right. I don't know about Batum because we just don't know.
I'm putting Batum in there.
I know you're going to put Batum in
there.
So
I'm putting Batum in there over Kennard.
There's too many question marks.
Look, there's some question marks.
It could be 9. It could be 7, depending if things go horribly wrong, right?
Like, okay. All right. So I'll give you 7. I think 7 is fair. I think 7 is, fairly deep. Maybe you need to make one more acquisition, or someone does really well during the regular season and we improve that to having an 8-man rotation for the playoffs by the time we reach the playoffs that we're comfortable with. But I'm looking at the Lakers thing here and I'm just not seeing 9.
Obviously, I don't see 9. I think they're seeing that all those minutes are also with LeBron on the floor, which in that case, sure, that makes sense. But at some point, he's got to take a rest.
You got their starting 5. You got LeBron. Schroeder is in the depth chart. I think he'll come off the bench, but whatever. KCP, AD, Marc Gasol. Fine. I'm fine with that. Once you get past that, though, I mean, Montrezl Harrell, sure, regular season minutes.
I would love it if Montrezl Harrell played 25 minutes a game as a now against him. I would love that.
Yeah, great. Okay, you're going to have Montrezl Harrell play 25 plus minutes a game. So that's 6. So then who's the other guy that you trust to play 25 plus minutes? Like Wes Matthews, maybe? Yeah. That's fair. I guess KCP. I would take that. But then who are you looking at?
KCP.
We already said KCP. He's in the starting 5.
Jared Dudley.
So, I mean, but like, are you saying Caruso is like you're comfortable with that for 25 minutes?
I guess.
That's fair.
But I don't know who, after that. I don't know who's on the Lakers.
I mean, Caruso is good. Don't get me wrong. I would maybe put Caruso above Wes Matthews. But yeah, I think it's a little bit more even. I think it's a little bit more evenly matched. I think we're closer to like they got 7 guys, we got 7 guys versus them having
top seven for sure. 100%.
Anyways, I got to get that off my chest.
Yeah. No more Lakers talk. Let's get that out of here. We haven't even said that name on the podcast in a while. Let us know who you think is going to take the biggest jump at Locked On Clips. Of course, coming up, we're going to be talking some double practice. The Clippers practice twice on Tuesday vibes, as well as kind of some scrimmage minutes. But first, we got to give another shout out to Built Bar. The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than before. There's 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. I am a fan of the classic Built Bar flavor, peanut butter. It's great. It's got 19 grams of protein, which is fantastic. The great thing about Built Bars is that they are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. You can get a discount too. Everyone's trying to save money right now. It makes sense. They make a great gift. Send them to your grandparents. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com.
Okay, so we're back. There was some availability today from the Clippers. And we saw Ty Lue, we saw Fee, we saw Amir. Where do you want to jump in on this? Do we want to just kick this thing off with our with the way our minds have been reeling with the Samir Coffee situation?
Yes, but first we're gonna give a shout out. Thirsty Thursday we're doing tomorrow. We're talking season expectations as the season comes in. You know, going to be a good time, going to be stressed out. Yeah, so Reggie Jackson was supposed to speak today. They said it in the, they don't tell us the day before. They let you know 5 minutes before everyone is about to speak.
And sometimes it changes while.
Press
conference is already happening.
So we were told it was Ty Lue, Fee, and then Reggie Jackson, but it ended up being Amir Coffey instead of Reggie Jackson, which, I mean, had me, it had us both kind of like, what's happening? But because Reggie Jackson has a 1 year contract, he does have the no trade clause, of course. So I don't think he was traded or anything like that. But there has been some weirdness. A couple people on Twitter got at us and were talking about, even before our episode yesterday came out, about how weird Lou Will seemed. Not weird, I shouldn't say that, but distracted or whatever it was during his presser. Now we have this Reggie Jackson thing. Are there gears moving here? Are there, like, what is going on?
Man, I don't know. I hope that this is a move where, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to make of this.
It's just weird.
We can't move Reggie. Yeah.
No, like, who's going to take him, really?
It's just weird.
I think it's mostly just weird.
It's just weird. Yeah. It did get me excited, for maybe seeing some more Coffee minutes. If we're being honest,
People were hyped up. People wrote in Amir Coffey for the who's going to take the biggest leap role.
I like it. I love the optimism. You know, I don't think this means anything at the end of the day. But like you said, the weirdness is one of those things that I feel like the Clippers are trying to shake off this. Yeah, the weirdness. They got a funk on them. and
do we?
It's stuff like this, like guys like Reggie, who, I have to be honest, I feel like we did him a fucking favor taking him back.
Whoa!
And now you're not gonna address the media?
I don't think this was a Reggie Jackson call. There's no way that Reggie was like, I don't want to talk. Reggie's fantastic with the media.
He's like, I'm blazed. I got to bounce.
There's no, I don't put this on Reggie at all. I just put this on, I honestly put this on scheduling.
All right. Well,
there was probably some. It's insane that you're taking this just straight at Reggie Jackson. But Amir Coffey, you know, said a bunch of some good cliches. He just wants to do what he can to help the team win in his second year. Love to hear it. Hyped on his boy, Aturu getting drafted. Said he's versatile and can guard multiple positions. An interesting note from Coffey's presser is that he's been playing 1 through 4 on offense and defense. Does 4 seem kind of out there?
4 is Amir insane.
Coffey. Okay, thank you. I was like, dude, who is Amir Coffey guarding at the 4 on defense? Like,
depending on the situation, I mean, he can guard people on the wing. He can guard a 3. I mean, he can guard a 3. Yeah. No, I have 4 is pushing it.
Seems like a reps thing. It doesn't seem like a real thing, because if Amir Coffey checks in and is playing at the 4, things are going horribly wrong for the Clippers.
I got to be honest. The fan in me, like the unbridled fan in me, wants to run out in the streets and say Amir Coffey can guard and play 1 through 4. And he's definitely taking the biggest leap this year, and he's going to be getting significantly more minutes. But the realist in me says, man, I'm glad that they're getting a good workout for him.
Yeah, I think this is a good workout. I think it's going to be closer to 1 through 3 during the season. Let's hope so. Ty Lue spoke today. Again, we said there's 2 practices. They're not practicing on Wednesday, the day you're listening to this. Ty Lue said the Clippers' biggest thing is to adapt through the season. You know, in terms of COVID, he said everyone's going through it. The key word is adapt. He's still kind of learning how to motivate the team, which kind of goes back to one of the big issues we've talked about, which is kind of leadership and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we're hoping that gets ironed out on the fly.
I'm willing to give him a break on this one, just because to our knowledge, they have not had the secret team dinner.
I think they've had 5 already.
They've not had the secret team dinner in which Ty Lue is going to be announcing the identity of the team.
He's going to have a whiteboard. He's going to pull a big black sheet off it. And he's going to be like, and we are this. It's going to be Clippers.
He's going to do,
it's going to be an acronym.
He's going to do a wild gender reveal.
yeah, and he's going to start a fire.
He's going to burn down Napa.
Oh, God, I hope not. I hope everyone's doing okay by the fires, by the way. There's some new ones that popped up.
Yeah, but ultimately, you know, we've only been practicing since Sunday. This is what, the third practice. I'm fine with that, not knowing how to motivate the guys. It's also practice. You know what I mean? Like, there's only so much motivation you're really doing. Like,
yeah, that's a very good
through
point.
Those drills, boys. Yeah, through those drills.
Bunch of clapping while you're holding a clipboard at the same time. So it's really weird.
What do you think about this is off topic, but like, what do you think about the coaches having to full time wear masks in the practice facility and anything? Do you think that in any way inhibits their ability to convey, especially with facial expressions? Like,
I didn't even think about that. I think that actually might. Ty Lue, I will say, has pretty expressive. He's kind of like Michael Keaton, how he's kind of got like the eyebrow acting thing going. So yes. I think Ty Lue will be good. I think for Doc, this would have been a big issue because he just yells. But I think for Ty Lue, it's going to be fine. I hope. Ty Lue also said this. So this was the second presser where he's talked about how to play after the play and continuing to keep moving and not be stagnant. This was like the highlight of the presser for me. Was just, I love just hearing this of like, hey, if the first option's not there, we got to figure out the second option. Like, this is music to my ears, and I think to a lot of Clippers fans' ears too.
Yeah, from the first time we heard this talking point, it's just like, it's one of those things that, I mean, I love, and it definitely got me hyped, but it's like one of those things that it seems so simple, you know, that...
Right? Yes.
It's kind of... it's just kind of interesting that there wasn't sort of a better account for those types of situations in place before. Maybe it was just due to not having enough time to have guys, you know, in their defined spots. You know, that certainly could be the case. You know, we forget too last year that Kawhi wasn't at training camp and neither was PG.
Yeah. Very good call.
Ty Lue brought that up the other day, and it's like, oh yeah, I mean, I think, you know, even given the shorter training camp, which is less than ideal, actually having everybody there is a huge step in the right direction for a team that's trying to get its on-court chemistry right.
That's a super good call. The presser also featured Fee, off-season darling, said the coaching staff has asked him to work on multiple, you know, hitting open shots, defending multiple positions. He's been picking Serge's brain on how to be a stretch five, which is fantastic. Let's talk about, so the Clippers practiced twice today. Fee didn't have a very eventful thing, which is why we're kind of moving past it. How many minutes do you want to see Kawhi and PG get on Friday?
Oh, in the
scrimmage.
Oh, in a preseason game?
Yeah.
I don't know, 20 minutes.
Wow, 20 is more than I thought. I wanted 10 to 15.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, what I'm looking for in this scrimmage, and I guess we'll talk about this more in like our full preview, but I would kind of like to see everybody get some time. I would kind of like to see, you know, just throwing out some different lineups out there and seeing with, you know, sort of limited time together and limited time to run sets, what kind of works, where is sort of the on-court communication, what, you know, pairs and trios can complement each other in maybe ways that we didn't get a chance to see before. And I think that this is a great opportunity for the deeper rotation guys to kind of, you know, maybe carve out their case for being, you know, that sort of 2.5 to 3 up kind of guy.
I
hope that you're right. And I hope that it's sub 20 minutes.
Cause they need time together, you know, like we do got to get reps in.
Yeah. Just working them back in. But yeah, I would really like to see everybody get some minutes in this preseason game. Cause once again, like it's gotta be about process this year. Like we have to be building a good foundation. And with, you know, I mean, we play a game essentially every other day once the season starts. It's going to be insane.
For sure.
It's what, 72 games in 146 days?
Yeah.
So, you know, like we have to start that process in, you know, in these preseason games. And we got to, you know, we as fans, as analysts, as whatever, I have to remember too that like we can't be focused on result in December.
For sure.
So, and it's going to be one of those things that's difficult to do, especially when, you know, we play the Lakers twice, which I'm also thankful for that we have no travel for our first couple of preseason games.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, it's one of those things that we just have to stress process this year. And you know, I do think, certainly what Evan told us, the Locked On Cavs host of Ty Lue's time, is, you know, he's willing to try things, and sometimes that is frustrating, but you have to look at the long game. You have to look at it that, you know, we're playing, you know, we're playing for the end of the season here. We're not, you know, like and while we care, you know, we don't want to take the same attitude, at least that we took last year to certainly some games. It's about that process and getting to the point that we need to get by the end of this whole thing.
Yes, exactly. Which is hopefully a lift on that beautiful Gary OB. Coming up in shavings, we're going to be talking, just LeBron talked about the Clippers, and as well as Magic, a Harden versus Lue debate coming up next on shavings.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything going around the NBA. But before we get into that, I got to tell you about this Locked On NBA season preview.
Oh yeah.
The wait is almost over. The 2021 season is almost here, and the Locked On NBA podcast will get you ready with a special week of shows. It's going to be beginning on December 14th. You can get previews of every team, division by division, with all 30 of the Locked On local experts, including us.
Oh yeah.
Plus, you'll hear about waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball. You'll hear about rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and you'll get predictions from each division from Rejecting the Screen. So go ahead and subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's get back into some shavings. What do we got? What's kicking around in the drawer?
So LeBron was talking about how he couldn't fathom how the Clippers didn't win the Denver series. And I'm just like, yeah, same, man. I don't know. What do you want us to say?
Denver outcoached us and outplayed us.
Yeah,
Moving on.
Next. Danilo Gallinari had a baby girl. Congrats to the Gallo family. A little meatball there. Excited to see what her shooting form looks like. I think that's going to be a good. I bet Gallo raises a pretty tight athlete. And then finally, kind of want to cap off. I was kicking around the thought today. How is James Harden's rep for partying seemingly helping him right now in a go to the clubs without a mask in multiple cities during a pandemic thing compared to the Lou Will Magic City debacle? And I do say debacle because it was a whole mess. The bubble played a big situation in this. Obviously, like, you don't want anyone to bring something into the bubble for sure. But Harden is in, like, he's like clubbing in different cities, no mask. And it's just kind of fine. Like, I'm just kind of baffled by how this is being handled. And I think it's mostly due to COVID fatigue by everybody.
Yeah,
but it's
agreed.
Just kind of baffling.
No. Lou Will came under a lot of heat from a ton of people. Like, basically everyone who talks basketball had something negative to say, except for this guy. I'm pointing myself. Here's the thing, right? Like, this somehow is an... I'm not like a Harden hater or anything, but this somehow is worse to me on a couple of levels. A, shit is worse right now than it was when Lou Will went to Magic City. Like, in terms of cases, we are in the PG driver's seat right now in terms of COVID cases, which means it's just,
that's not good.
It's just careening off the cliff.
Yeah.
The second thing, dude, and this is the biggest thing, and I touched on this earlier, but the thing to me is, like, he's doing these fans, I think, so dirty. Look, man, he's a player who is, you know, attracted a fair amount of criticism. And, you know, that's been a fan base that's, you know, that's rode for him, that's been there for him.
Yeah.
And I understand being upset at your situation. I understand wanting to trade. But man, to have things, if this does end up being how this all goes down and goes out, I mean, I just can't imagine a worse way to leave a franchise.
No, it'd be horrible.
And like a franchise that, you know, you were this close to beating the Warriors
you forced moves
to slaying the dragon. And you know, like, it sucks that you had an injury and it didn't happen. And it, you know, it does suck that the team took a different direction. And I mean, You know, it's not a place for you to really be successful. But
the pandemic cop out is like the pandemic. Yeah. You're like, dude, like it's just crazy. Van Solo had a good point on Twitter, which was really funny. They said, is it weird that it feels like every story that was blown up for the Clippers was happening and potentially worse in Houston? Russ load man is just like Kawhi. Chemistry was worse. Midseason trades didn't seem to help. Look bad in the offseason. Actually blowing up the team. He kind of nailed it.
Wow. I like that. That's a great point from Van. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know why. I think once again, maybe it was Houston. It could be Houston fatigue going along with going along with sort of the quarantine fatigue. But, you know, the Rockets this year, I think people had some serious questions, you know, rightfully so, about that Westbrook trade. And the Clippers were the kind of the shiny new object. The Clippers were kind of this new contender.
And it's Magic City. It's like a strip club that has a big cultural thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's during the bubble. And it was kind of a dumb decision. Like, I'm not excusing I get why he made the decision, but I'm not necessarily excusing it because it was like, you know, that sucks. After the funeral, get some wings. That's shitty. From a timing perspective. But yeah, the Harden thing is just like, dude. And he was at the practice facility today for the Rockets. Like, oh, he tested. He's all good. And it's like, dude, so you can, like, this is where we're at. Like, you can go to a bunch of clubs and then just, like, come back and it's just, like, fine. Like, I don't know. Also, Lou Will trademarks Lemon Pepper Lou, which I think has a little bit of a different spin to it.
Well, and here's the other thing too is so they're not gonna do like some sort of 10-day quarantine to make sure that this is all good.
I guess not. I mean, it doesn't seem like
if this is the precedent that they're setting, I think this is far more worrisome for the NBA as an organization than it is for Houston fans or James Harden or anything else. If this is the precedent that we're setting that, you know, a negative test and now it's all good, like without the quarantine, when there's actual footage of you being maskless with the general population, I don't know, man. I don't think we're going to get through this season if that's the precedent we're setting.
It seems like there's going to be a couple Dez Bryant situations, which if you're listening, you didn't hear. Dez Bryant was told 15 minutes before kickoff of the Ravens game that he had COVID. And he was pulled off the field. So that's how that process went. But that about wraps up Shavings. We hope everyone has a good day. Sorry to kind of end on a bit of a soapbox note. But it is unfair how Lou Will got treated. Thursday's episode, we're going to be talking Thursday with season expectations. Undoubtedly some ESPN slander about their top 100 player list that came out. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, where can these people tell their friends that they have to listen to us?
Tell your friends to listen to us on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer.
Yeah.
Basically, we're anywhere you get your podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe. It really helps us out. If you like what we're doing, you can leave a rating or review. I think only on iTunes, but still, hey, you know.
I'm pretty sure it's only on iTunes.
If you like what you're hearing, we'll definitely read it on air.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, keep rocking with us. You know, we're only 3 days into training camp. And,
and we got a game coming up.
And we got a game coming up on Friday.
It's going to be a good time. Again, thank you, everyone, for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.